Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. If you're there, say amen. All right. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the twelve gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." In other words, we don't have enough leaders in the church. We should elect some. That's what he was saying. "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them to wait the tables, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. And I apologize, I'm going to crucify these names, but the Bible don't have simple names. So they chose Stephen, now that's a normal name, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Also Philip, that's another name, but here we go into these names. Prochorus, Nicanor, that sounds like a Lord of the Rings name. Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch. Did I do okay? I probably didn't pronounce them right, but I tried. A convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. So they didn't have enough leaders. They got more leaders, laid hands on them. The leaders had a certain dynamic about them. They were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples or the church grew rapidly. And the large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I want to pray real quick because I believe God's got a word for us tonight, and I want you to hear and capture what God is saying. Father, we thank you for the word. I pray that you use me tonight to help somebody, to empower somebody, that you would call LifeGate Church to come up to a new level, that you would cause us into deeper depths in your presence, and that you would just do something supernatural in us. Break yokes, destroy bondages, give hope to those who are hopeless today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Before you're seated, I just want to tell you that this title that I've given you tonight is the longest title for a sermon in the history of LifeGate Church. Y'all ready? Okay, here we go. 7 things about leadership you need to know that will bring advancement to your life. That's a really long title. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's so long, I can't even repeat it." 7 things about leadership you need to know that will bring advancement to your life. Go ahead, and I want you to just try. Just try to repeat it with me. Come on, somebody.
7 things about leadership you need to know that will bring advancement to your life.
Okay, just sit down, slap your neighbor, high five before you do, and say, "I can't even repeat that, but I'm just going to sit here." Amen, amen. Yesterday we celebrated the birth of our nation, and I'm so glad to be an American, aren't you guys? I'm super thankful. I'm proud to be in this country. I don't care who's in the White House. I love Ford trucks. I love big old pickup trucks. I love cowboy boots, gold buckles, gold knuckles. I love the whole deal. I love to be an American. Don't you? I know most of you in here do. I think all of you do. And I love our nation, I love our culture, but you can't make a gospel out of being an American. It's not the same thing. Because people who are in China who are saved got saved by the same gospel you heard, right? Your Bible is not neither pro nor anti-American. Your Bible is pro-kingdom. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's preaching now." But what it shows us, though, about a nation or about a government or about a world, that what makes a good nation, what makes a great people, what makes a great community, and what makes a great church is found in the premise of one word, and that one word is leadership. Look at your neighbor, say, "Become a leader." Leadership, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said when a person has the capacity to move something or to move someone to a designated place, that's a leader. So if you're in this place today and you said, "Pastor, I can move something, you know, my kids know when mama says the middle name in there, I can at least move a few people that are in my family if I throw the middle name, not just Jackson, but if I say Jackson, Jeffrey, if he hears that Jeffrey, he knows he's in trouble. Olivia knows that if Olivia says Olivia Lynette, she knows she about to better move because dad's coming with the hand of thunder." Can the church say amen? But all of us in this room, you can move something. Look at your neighbor and say, "You can move something." we know that you can move you, because if you wouldn't have come to church tonight, we would have known you couldn't have moved you. But you can even move yourself to get to church, meaning that there is just a little bit of leadership in some of us, but in others there might be a lot of leadership in us, right? So leadership is very, very important, whether you're in a family, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're single and looking for the opposite, whether you're in a church, whether you're married, no matter what you're in, whether you own a business or run or work for somebody else who does run a business. Everybody in this room is affected to some degree by leadership, right? I mean, you obey the speed limit, most of you, because you don't want to be affected by leadership, right? We are all affected to some degree by leadership. The Bible is very clear and paints a very clear picture to us what leadership is and what leadership isn't. John C. Maxwell, he is a great writer. He wrote the book, I'm just drawing a blank right now. He wrote all kinds of books on leadership. Help me, somebody. I had my leadership team read it. Y'all remember what it was? What's that? I can't hear you. What? He wrote Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. That was a really good book. I can't remember what he wrote. I've read it like 1,000 times. Developing the Leader Within You. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He wrote Developing the Leader Within You. And in that book, he said that everything rises and falls on leadership. Would you agree with me on that? I mean, in our home, everything is going to rise and fall on leadership. If the head of the home decides to do it, everybody will become the culture of what the head has to say, right? In a business. So we have 3 or 4 business owners in our church tonight. And you as a business owner know that when you make the choice for that company, it doesn't matter if that employee wants to do it or not. That's just going to become the culture for that company, because everything rises and falls on leadership, right? In a church house, you guys know people come from this church and people go from this church. People have come through here and they've left because they didn't want to adapt to the culture, because leadership has set that bar, and we want to make sure that that bar stays set. Why? Because everything rises and falls on leadership. So the apostles here in the Bible, in the book of Acts, they were ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit, and there was 12 of them, but they made up their mind that they could not do it alone. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't do it alone. I'm the biggest look at your neighbor preacher you ever done see. So look at your neighbor and say, that's just how he does it. That's just how he is. And so here are the apostles, and they said, we can't do church this way, for we've got to raise up some other men and women of God who can come in the house of God and help take over different departments so we can go and hear from heaven and get a word from God. And so they picked Stephen, and they had a prerequisite for Stephen. He couldn't just be, you know, some slothful guy that came to church once in a while. He had to be full of wisdom, and he had to be full of the Holy Ghost. That was a prerequisite. Now, I met church people by the multiplied thousands, and just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean that they have wisdom. That's as silly as saying that somebody has gray hair has wisdom. Just because you got gray hair don't mean wisdom. I met young folks that have more wisdom than some old folks that I met. Come on, somebody. But we got to pick people of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. We want the presence of God flowing through you as you minister to others. Come on. We don't want you being an empty cistern as you're trying to. You can't give away what you don't have. Come on now. If we're going to minister to people that are coming in here broken, coming in here wrecked in their emotions, how can we minister to people if we're empty? If you're called to be in the church, or called to be a part of LifeGate Church, then you got to be a person full of the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, be full. You got to get full. You got to get so full that you possessed. See, I know people possessed with the devil. When you get saved, you need to get possessed with another kind of spirit. That's the Holy I'm trying to just talk to you tonight. I'm not trying to be preachy, but you know, I've been in the 12 services this week, so I can't help it. You know, I've been with some of the greatest preachers on the planet, and I'm like, I can't wait to get a microphone. Can't wait to get a microphone. Can't wait. Right. So they didn't pick these leaders just because they didn't pick them just because Stephen decided to be a leadership. He really was a man who was full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. A true leader will disciple themselves to accomplish the task before them. I've heard people say, well, I'm not leadership material. I don't believe that. You are what you set out to be. As a man thinketh in his own mind, so is he. You need to stop thinking I'm not leadership material and start saying I am a leader. I will possess the land. I'm about to own a business. Watch out, I might own 2. God's got leadership on me because I'm created in the image of God, and God is the ultimate leader, so God help me to become one. Come on, somebody. Leadership is about you discipling you into leadership. You got to get around people that are leading. You got to read books about leadership. Listen to podcasts about leadership. Chase after leadership. It doesn't fall in your lap. If you want to be a better leader, go get around a leader. If you want to know more about leadership, read about leadership. I wish I could get four more of you to help me. If you want to become greater, you got to go get around greater. All right. Okay. These seven men that they picked were so qualified to lead in the church. Watch what leadership does. They pick seven new leaders, the 12 apostles pick seven new leaders, and the church begins to increase rapidly. This tells me then, as we grow as a church, our little team that we have right now can't stay little. Our little team can't stay little no more, right? As our team grows, so grows our church. As we have more leaders facilitating and managing more departments and leading more departments, so does our church grow and become greater in number and duplicating. Amen. But let me just encourage you, we're not looking for any kind of leader. We're looking for a certain kind of leader, you know, a kind of leader that knows how to talk to people, right? A kind of leader that doesn't judge people that come in the doors that don't look churched. Come on. The kind of leader that loves people regardless of where people are. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It's okay. I know. I've been in a cave for 13, 14 years. And I feel like I've been in church for 14 years. That's what I feel like. But God's looking for leaders in the church that are not going to judge people how they come into the house of God, right? God is looking for leaders that are going to come into the house of God despite where they come from, despite what they smell like, despite what they look like, despite how much money they have, despite what side of the tracks they come on. They might be single mamas. They might be pregnant and not married. They might be gay. They might be straight, but God is looking for leaders full of the Holy Ghost. See, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll love people past them. You'll love people past their sin. You'll love people past their addiction. Don't you want somebody to love them like God loved you? Don't you want to learn to love other people like God loved you? Past your mess, past your sin, past your addiction. Come on, we got to be leaders that rise up. Joshua generation, you. Did minister not preach a good word on Sunday morning or what? Tell my wife, I'm going to be gone more. I'm just kidding. When you have the right people doing the right things, growth will come. But when you have wrong people with good motives, things will stall. Because motives don't build a company, a team, management, or a church. Motives don't do that. I've heard one preacher say that the highway to hell was paved in good intentions. Just because you have good motives and good intentions don't mean you're good leadership, right? So I want to help you tonight to empower you to become a better leader. I'm still working on my introduction, Seth. They got to pray for me. I'm still in my introduction. So I hear churchgoers say things like this. Well, Pastor, God will use anybody. He will use me. He will use my neighbor. I hear this scripture taken out of context. For he's no respecter of persons. How many have ever heard that? Pertaining to everything but what it's supposed to pertain to. That verse in your Bible is pertaining to salvation. Okay, let me show you. Peter was a fisherman. He drove a big old Dodge Ram 2500 with a Hemi. He had hair on his chest. He wore crocodile shoes with coveralls, no shirt underneath it. He shaved his head, had two diamond earrings, and had a big old thing of chew in his mouth when he met Jesus. Hey, Jesus! And he was a roughneck, you guys. He didn't have a degree. He didn't have a diploma. He owned a fishing company. He was a fisherman. He smelled like fish. He looked like fish. He talked like fish. Everything he did was fishy. I mean, he was a fishy character. He was a little odd. I mean, he was a fireball. He was so out there. You know, he wasn't a graduate from Harvard. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because when they came to arrest Jesus, he took the sword from the soldier and cut the soldier's ear off. Now, you must be some bad mamma jamma to take a weapon from the guy that's coming after you and cut his ear off. You must be some kind of bad dude. Peter. Peter writes two books in your Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And then what Mark wrote, St. Mark, was really what Peter preached that Mark wrote for Peter. So he really has three books. Paul was very educated. He was an understudy of a professor by the name of Gamaliel, and he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Now, why didn't God use Peter to write two-thirds of the New Testament? Because he was a firecracking preaching machine, and Paul was an educated firecracking preacher machine. There's a difference. So God will use everybody, but he will only use you based off how you are reproducing you. Okay, can I teach you tonight? Okay, Jesus, I'm gonna put this story in modern vernacular. Jesus said this guy came who owned a business. He gave one man one talent, or let me back up. He gave one man a $100 bill. He gave one man $500, and he gave another man $1,000. And the Bible said that this business owner came back after he was gone a short time. And your Bible actually calls them talents, by the way, which I think is hilarious. And he said, now to the man who I gave 1,000 talents, do what did you do with it? He said, I turned it into $2,000. He went to the man that he gave $500. He said, what did you do with it? He said, I turned that into $1,000. I learned how to duplicate what you gave me. He went to the man who he gave $100 to. He said, what did you do with that $100? He said, oh, Lord, I was too embarrassed. I was too afraid. I didn't think they'd like me. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I could sing good enough. I didn't think I could preach good enough. I didn't think they liked me. I just came to church and sat and did nothing. And the Bible said that the manager cursed him. Listen. If you come to church and you don't use your talents, but you want to be in leadership, God will only take you to the point of you investing in you. He just doesn't put leadership on you. You've got to learn, go get wisdom, read the books, get around greater to become great. Do you think it was just faith that got us this building? Man, I've been doing research after research, asking mentor after mentor after mentor. I didn't just lock myself in a room and pray. Sorry for spitting on you, Kim. I had to go and fight, figure it out, and get the wisdom on how to do it. Well, God's going to hold me accountable on this planet, and you too. What are you doing with the talents God put in you? The Bible actually calls them talents. It's money, I know, is what it's referring to. But God will hold you accountable for the talents. Are you sitting on your talent tonight? Are you doing nothing? Well, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. Well, then why did God create you? That's not true. Everybody has something to give, right? Come on now. Everybody has something to give to be a blessing to somebody in the earth, but you got to activate that within you and allow God to duplicate in you what you were created with. Oh, I feel like preaching. Because y'all are forgetting, I thought I was preaching to LifeGate tonight. There's only one you in this room. Nobody else can do what you can do the way that you can do it. Only you have that DNA. Only you have those fingerprints. Only you have that brilliant mind that God gave you. It is time for you to rise up and use that brilliant mind to glorify God. If you believe that, say yes. Look. God picked Joshua. What did he call Joshua? A man of great courage and great strength. This is ringing really bad, Bert. I don't know. It might be the monitors. God picked David, a man who was fearless in confronting his problem. God picked Stephen because he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now watch. God sent his greatest leader, Jesus, who could teach all of us how to lead. Well, how did Jesus lead? He wasn't leading because he was a good preacher, although we think he was, right? He wasn't leading just to get more money and make more people follow him. That's not why he used his gift. He came to do the ultimate thing, to lay down his life and to serve. Oh, Pastor, tell me about how powerful leadership is. I'll get a broom for you in just a minute. Right? Any business owner or leader will tell you that they're the last. Any business owner in this room will tell you they were the first ones to turn the lights went on and they were the last ones to turn the lights off. Come on. That's a true leader. A true leader ain't looking for you to do it. They don't just delegate it out so they don't have to do anything. A true leader is the first one there, the last one gone. I want to help you because we got to have some more leaders on our team. There's coming a change. There's coming a shifting, and we got to have some more help. And why not just you get on board with us? Amen. Right? There's a whole generation of young people coming up in our church. And they're not the next, they're the now. We should be training them in the now to take stuff over. Come on. Right? I ain't going to be preaching this when I'm 85 years old. I'll be amening somebody else on. Come on now. I'm looking right now, God, at what child in this church is going to take it over one day. Who is? I pray that all the time. Who's going to take this church over? Because I ain't doing this at 80 years old. The devil is a lie. I'm going to be sitting on a beach Monday through Sunday, Monday through Saturday, drinking me a Diet Coke and walking my beautiful bride down the beach and coming back Saturday night to be in church Sunday morning to amen my spiritual son who takes the church over. Why are you looking at me funny? I ain't doing this forever. We got to raise people up. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get up. Okay. I have heard people say, I got to hurry up. Oh, Jesus, help me. This ain't a real preachy message tonight, but I want to share with you what I feel God's telling us. Because you have an event in church history, in a church's history, you have an event. It changes you for like a week. I mean, tell the truth. I mean, some things change in you, but it changes for like a week. You get a building, it changes you for a good decade. Huh? But if you get a generation, you're changing time and legacy to come. That's pretty good right there. I'm coming for a generation, you guys. Come on. If you're too comfortable in your old faith to go after a generation, you might as well pick on a different church. Because this church is about to be bum-rushed with some children, bum-rushed with some teenagers, bum-rushed with some college kids that want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Amen? Okay. I've heard it said that leadership would be easy if you didn't have to deal with people. I mean, that's true, isn't it? Leadership would be a lot easier if you didn't have to deal with people. But aren't people the joy of being in leadership? I heard one guy tell me one time, I would never pastor church. I like to just blow in, blow out, and I don't have to deal with the people. I was like, man, it's fun dealing with the people. Are you serious? I mean, we have some amazing people in our church. I mean, we really do. And there's not a greater joy than hearing somebody say, I've changed my mind. I used to think this way, but I don't think that way no more. God has changed my heart, so I've changed my mind. Guys, this room, look around. Everybody just look around at your neighbors. Everybody look around. This room is filled with those people that said, I'm changing my mind. I'm not going back here no more. I'm going ahead, and I'm going to serve Jesus. Well, praise God anyhow. Okay, so let's look at how people respond. Go with me to the book of Numbers, and most of you probably didn't bring your Bibles because you have it on your apps. It's all good. You got yours. We know that Daylin's got it. Man, this microphone feels weird to me tonight. It's not your fault, Birdo, so no, it's not you. I'm just having a hard time adjusting, but it's not him. It's me. It's not you. It's me, Birdo. No, he does a great job. It just feels weird to me tonight. I don't know why. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 in your Bible says this, and the Lord spoke to the leader, Moses. If you have your Bibles, you can just run through me with this real quick. I have a message that I haven't preached here yet that I'm going to one day. It's called 7 Ways You Can Imprison Your Pastor. This is out of that message, but I just want to show you a point. Numbers chapter 1, verse 48 says, the Lord had spoken to Moses. Everybody say Moses. Chapter 3, verse 1, when the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 5, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Y'all see the kind of the common denominator here, right? Verse number 21 of chapter 4, then the Lord spoke to Moses. Chapter 5, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Chapter 6, 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. Chapter number 7, verse 4, the Lord spoke to who? Moses. Chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord spoke to? Moses. Chapter 9, verse 1, the Lord spoke to? Moses. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord spoke to? Moses. Okay, now watch. Chapter 11, everything changes. And when the people begin to complain, it displeased the Lord. The Lord spoke to leadership, the people started to complain, right? Now, how many of you have ever ran something, been over a department in a church, been over a department on your job? And you know, dealing with people is a lot of conflict resolution, isn't it? Come on. Whether you're in church, whether you're in the world, whether you're in family, come on, some of us need a revival in our family. But it's all about conflict resolution. So I'm not just a leader at church, right? I mean, I'm only here like, what, in service 3 hours of the week, I think. 3 to 4 hours of the week where I'm before you giving you a message of something. So I lead when I'm at Walmart. I lead when I'm at the store. I walked into Walmart the other day, and there was an 80-year-old woman sitting on a stool. I said, welcome to Walmart. I said, God bless you. I hope you're having a great day. And her whole face lit up. She's like, people don't talk to me. Well, I just want to say hello to you. I hope you're having a great day today. Now, I didn't do that, because I just thought, oh, I'm going to make myself look good today. I do that because that's who I am, right? And so when you're dealing with people, leadership isn't just about a church thing. It's not about being on my team thing. It's not about what you do at work. It's about who you are. Amen, somebody? It's about what we do outside of these four walls that really is going to leave a lasting impact. That's the really, really true matter of the story. And so when you leave this room tonight, I want you to leave this room thinking like a leader. I want you to leave this room talking like a leader. I want you to leave this room acting like a leader. Whether you're a mom, a single mom, a dad, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're not in any relationship, whether you work by yourself in a cubicle and in the caves, whatever you do, I want you leaving this place tonight saying, I am a leader. Look at your neighbor and say, I am so much of a leader. You better get out of my way. I'm just kidding. We all. So we have an amazing team right now. If you're on our leadership team or facilitation team and you're in here, can you please stand up really quick? I just want to let everybody see it. Give them a big round of applause because they do an amazing job. And I'm so thankful for the leadership team that we've had the last 7 years, 8 years of our church. And a lot of them that stood were some of the very first founding members of Life Gate Church, the Ponders. And so if you were, who else? The Ponders, Tigs, and yeah. So anyway, if I miss you, I greatly apologize. My brain's fried right now. So I really felt like the Lord in this time of ministry that I've been traveling and ministering all over the place and being connected to different leaders, I really felt like the Lord said to challenge LifeGate Church to let them know that the season of this level is coming to an end and we're going to a new place. Like literally, listen to my words. Listen to my words. We're not going to stay at two services on Sunday. I just want you to know, okay? I'm serious. And we're going to go to three services very soon. We'll map it all out. It's not going to be a strain because the grace of God is going to be upon us to do this. Okay, and so we're not just going to stay at three services either. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. We're going to go to four services eventually. Now. When the Lord spoke to me, I was up here working at like 2 in the morning or something. The Lord spoke to me, I'm going to expand LifeGate Church and explode it. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you're so funny. Like, we don't have the team to do that. Like, I'm arguing with what the Lord said. Like, how are you going to argue with God, right? And I know none of you do that, but I'm guilty. And so so I was like, God, how are we going to do that? And here's what he said to me. He said, you leave that up to me. Okay. So in navigating and praying all that, there's people that are going to come up to the step. And some of you are in here, you already felt the pull to want to be on the team anyway. You're like, I want to be on the team so bad. And you're about to come up to that step. So I view leadership like scaffolding. So you have like one tier of scaffolding. You ever been on scaffolding before? The higher you go up, the scarier it feels, right? But it's solid. It ain't going nowhere if you got the brakes on. But some people don't like to go up to the higher levels of scaffolding. They'd like to stay where it's safe. But some of you, God is calling you to the next level of scaffolding. God is calling some of you to dedicate yourself a little more. I know it costs us time. I know it costs us energy, but God is asking that of us in this season as we go because lives are in the balance. People need Jesus, you guys. People need to get saved, delivered, and set free. That's why we're doing it. We're not doing it because to say we got three services. We're doing it because people are going to bum rush this place to get healed, delivered, set free, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Mark my words. We are about to have a bum rush, Holy Ghost invasion of people coming through those doors who need the healing power of Jesus Christ. For real. For real. Okay, so I want to give you 7 very fast things because it's already 7:54 and we have to make room for our second midweek service. Don't come up to me like, well, Pastor, we're tired. Uh-huh. I'll show you tired. Listen, I think one soul's worth me being tired. One soul being snapped. You guys realize people either go to heaven or they go to hell. And if we don't preach to them, they won't hear. And if they don't hear, they don't get saved. I think being tired is worth one soul coming into heaven. It's not I'm on my wife's mic. There we go. Thank you. That's a little better. So I'm 7 things tonight Making the devil scream and mad. Seven things tonight. Here we go. Seven things about leadership you need to know that will bring an advancement to your life that feels way better. Number one, leaders are people of their word. Amen. Let's all say that together. Number one. Matthew chapter 5 verse 37 says this, all you need to say is simply yes. Listen to the words that Jesus said. All you need to say is yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. In other words, this, don't say yes and then not do it. Don't say no and then do it. If you say, oh, I'll be there, Pastor Brian, and you don't show up and you're not there, you're saying what the Bible says, you're being used by the evil one. We have to be people of integrity, of character. If you're going to be a leader, look at your neighbor, say, you're a leader. So come on up, next level. If you're going to be a person of your word, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Come on now. Let it be solid. Let people trust what you say. Nothing, well, I was tired. It slipped my mind. That's not acceptable as a leader. As a leader, put it on your phone. Show up when you're supposed to show up. Serve how you're supposed to serve. Be a person of your word. Word. Okay, now I'm going to ask Mr. Penn, because Bill Penn, he owns his own company. And Mr. Penn, you don't keep people on payroll that aren't people of their words, do you? Not very long, do you? Why should it be any different in the house of God? For the longest time, the church has been known as a group of people that don't keep their word. They're hypocrites. How can we have leaders that are hypocrites? I'm not saying on our team now. I'm trying to encourage you to say, you got to be a person of your word, right? If you say you're going to serve, then serve according to the standard and not half-hearted, right? For that would not be a person of yours. So at our church, we want leaders, we tell our leaders all the time, you don't have the privilege to come to church without a smile on your face. Our leaders, our leadership team that serves right now, they don't have the privilege to come to church like this. How you doing today? Oh, I'm just miserable. The devil's been fighting me all night. Long. They don't have that privilege. They don't have that privilege. They have the privilege of being able to get to be on the team that I lead. That's how they come. They have the privilege to lead the great people at LifeGate Church. They get to. Right? They get to. They're people of their word. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:2. Hope this isn't overload for you on a hot summer night. It is hot in here, my goodness. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says this, don't make rash promises. People who make rash promises give me a rash. I'll be there, never see him. I'll show up, ain't there. I'll be there at 5:30, it's 12 o'clock, you still ain't here. Right? I love my wife, you've been with four. This week. You're giving me a rash. Right? Be a person of your word. Be a person of your word. It's important in today's world that Christians keep their word, right? Show up when you say you're going to show up. Do not just here. I'm talking about your job, with your family. Come on, somebody. Do what you say you're going to do the way you say you're going to do it. Be a person of your word. Amen. I know it's not some great thing. I can't even preach this theme because it's too long, but it's good stuff, right? Proverbs 25:14 says, a person who promises a gift but doesn't give it is like clouds and wind that bring no rain. They're full of hot air. Please don't be full of hot air. We have a problem cooling this building as it is. Please be who you say you are. Do what you say you're going to do. Back it up. Come on now. Go above and beyond what you're asked to do. That's what I do. I go above and beyond what I'm asked to do. Why? Because I'm a leader. I can't help it. It gives me a rash if I don't do that. Right? Leaders. Do what they say and say what they do. Amen? Okay, number two. Leaders are leaders because of what they do and who they are and not because of a title that they are given. So I see leaders, they fall into this entitlement trap all the time. I get to sit here because I'm a leader. You obey me because I'm the leader, right? We don't lead that way around here. It ain't about your title. If you have to be called by your title, you shouldn't have one in the first place. Amen. So people who are title driven, this is so good, I have to read it because I don't want to miss it. People who are title driven are managers, they're not leaders, and there is a difference.
Managers do what's asked of them, but leaders go above and beyond what's asked of them. Managers badmouth those above them while leaders walk in a code of honor. Managers have to be there while leaders get to be there. Managers look for the out. When do I get out of this? When can I go home? When can I clock out? When can I leave this place? While leaders look for more that they can do while they're in. Managers put others down and stress people out to make themselves look good. Leaders rise and raise other people up to do it the way that they should be able to do it. Managers will rebuke you if you don't honor their titles, while leaders aren't even looking for one. Managers stop managing once the clock is punched, but leaders never stop leading at home, on their job, in their family, at church, in their marriage. Be a leader. Managers only lead when they are being paid, but leaders never stop leading. Listen, you don't need to be paid to serve in the house of God. I was preaching for a friend of mine. Every single one of their musicians on their platform get paid. And I said, why are you paying them? He said, because they won't play if I don't. I said, they don't have a heart for the house. If anybody ought to be getting paid, it's the nursery workers back here wiping the people's kids' behinds while they're sitting up in church. Managers delegate everything while leaders do what they ask others to do. Right? So there was a Sunday morning I was in here and I was scrubbing these floors down because they were really dusty. And I didn't ask anybody to do it. I was doing it. We were in a hurry. And Berto said, Pastor, can I do that for you? And I was like, no, man, I'm good. He's like, no, like, give me the bucket. I'm like, no, like, I'm good, man. He goes, and give me the rag. I'm serious. Give it to me. Get, like, right now. Like, stop doing that. Well, I never asked him to do that. I'm not too big to scrub a floor. I'm not too big to scrub a toilet. Come on now. I'm not too big to pull staples. Any leader that would be too big to do it and ask you to do it ain't much of a leader at all. Be a leader, not a manager. Number three, I got seven of them. Number three, I hope somebody's getting some out of this. I know it's not real preachy, but I just felt like I needed to empower you with some good nuggets tonight. Leaders have a core value of loyalty. Loyalty. In your Bible, there's this guy by the name of Elijah. How many of you know who Elijah is? Elijah has a spiritual son named Gehazi. That's not going to stay up there. And Gehazi was serving Elijah, and Elijah had a man come to him by the name of Naaman, and Naaman had leprosy, and I'm going to tell you a really long story very fast. Elijah told Naaman, go dip in the river seven times. On the seventh time, you're going to come up and be completely healed. He goes down to the river, he dips seven times, he comes up completely healed, and he says, I want to bless Elijah and give him all this crazy money, all this. I want to buy him a new car, I want to buy him a new house, I want to clothe him with gold, I want to bless the man of God. He says, no, don't bless me, just go and be healed in Jesus' name. Gehazi, Elijah's son, chases Naaman down and says, Naaman, listen, you know, my boss, he loves you and we love you, and he changed his mind and he wants you to give all your riches to me. Gehazi then becomes extremely wealthy that fast, comes back to where the prophet is and acts like he didn't do anything. And the prophet said, where have you been, Gehazi? He goes, I've been out praying with the Lord. He said, why have you lied to me, Gehazi? You have done the direct opposite thing of what I've asked you not to do. Do you know what the word loyalty means? To support the one who's over you. Okay, watch. As a leader, I'm a leader. You can't be a leader until you're a follower. Right? I'm not the Lone Ranger. I have Tonto. All our older saints knew what I'm talking about. None of the younger people knew anything of what I just said. I'm not out here by myself just preaching with nobody, like, no authority behind me. You don't get any authority until you're submitted to it. But you can't submit to authority until you have loyalty in your heart, right? So, like, if Pastor Hart walked through these doors, I would say, everyone, please stand. Pastor Hart's here. I would walk up this platform, close my Bible, and give him my pulpit. Yeah. Pastor Parsley, same thing. If they were to come to me and say, I think you need to tweak this, change that, I would do what they told me to do. Why? Because I'm submitted, and I'm loyal to what they say to do, and I support their cause. Yeah. Right? Well, Pastor, what if they do something that offends you or hurts your feelings? I get over it because I'm a leader. I don't talk to you about it. I don't call my neighbor about it. I don't call my friend about it. I take it to the Lord, and that's it. Come on, because I'm loyal. Right? All right, number four. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? I hope so. Number four, I'm going really fast as I can. Number four, leaders don't backpedal. They take the blame and own things when they do things that are wrong. Guys, if you're a leader, own your mistakes. Husbands, if you do something wrong as you lead your family, you should apologize to your family based off the measure of the offense. How you offended them, if you did it publicly, you ought to apologize publicly. If you did it privately, you ought to apologize privately. Come on, I know it's not shouting material, but it'll change your life and help you in life. Come on. If you ran your mouth on Facebook, you should apologize on Facebook. Come on. If you're talking mess about your friends in a group text, you should apologize in a group text amongst your friends. If they're not going to do that, my friend, then you don't need to be with them. Follow them. They're not loyal. Loyalty is an escaping art in today's culture. I mean, people aren't loyal to nothing anymore, right? They don't support only their own cause. That's why selfies are so popular right now, because it's all about self. But God is calling us to be a loyal people. And if you want to be a leader around here, then you're going to have to own your mistakes. Just admit it. I got these three things down. Admit it, quit it, and implement it. Admit that you're wrong, quit doing it, and implement the new laws in your life, the new core values in your life, to make you a better leader. That's good right there, isn't it? So that's what we have to do. Number five, and I have two more after this. I promise I'm hurrying. Leaders don't stop. Thank you, sweetheart, and you're hot. Leaders don't stop when they get tired. They stop when they are finished. So we're made in the image of God. Everybody say amen. So God rested on the seventh day, didn't he? He took a Sabbath. He didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. I mean, God doesn't get tired. That's a funny concept too. He rested on the seventh day because he was done. Right? People keep telling me this whole time of this transition, when are you going to rest, Pastor? When are you going to rest? I'll rest when I'm done. Are we going to lose your mind? No, I'll rest when I'm done. God's going to help me. I'm not going to quit now. I can't quit now because there's souls in the balance on Sunday. People are going to get saved, set free, and delivered. And this might be the only service they ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ again. I can't quit till I'm finished. Right? Well, Pastor, I'm tired. Man, join the crew. Join the crew of us who are tired. Everybody's tired. Right? But leaders rise above it, drink an espresso, a triple latte cappuccino, and get over it. And ain't nobody in this church is as tired as Jeremy on Sunday mornings. I'll tell you that right now. Jeremy is one workhorse now. Jeremy Dabney comes in here on Monday nights to practice. Comes in here on Tuesdays. He don't play on Wednesday. He don't play every Wednesday, but he plays half the Wednesdays. He comes in here on Saturdays. How long does it take you to mow these grounds, Jeremy? 2 to 3 hours. Beating himself all to pieces out there on that thing. I see you, Jeremy. Comes early on Sunday morning to practice and comes to two church services. I never hear the words come out of his mouth, I am so tired. Nobody volunteers as much as that guy. Well, besides Alex, who paints. I'm talking about on a weekly normal basis, on a normal week. You know, we finish when we're done as leaders. That's what we do. Right? We're all tired. Can I get a witness? Some of you are falling asleep right now. Praise God. It must be a boring message. I don't know. But we're all tired. We leaders serve until there's not much left more to give. Right? But that's what we do. That's how we roll, because we know there's a cause within us. Amen. Ain't nobody got to carry us, because we're rolling to help humanity. There's a cause in us. We rest when we're done. Okay, number six. Leaders don't do what they are asked to do. Wait a minute. Leaders don't just do what they're asked to do. They go above and beyond what they're asked to do. So take minister, for example. Those of you who don't know, he's the guy back here at the computer, and he preaches for me sometimes. He doesn't just run a computer. I mean, that's his duty. That's his job description and pastoral care. He visits people in the hospital and that kind of thing. But he's usually the first one here. And he's usually the last one to leave. And in the midst of those 3 hours while he's here on a Wednesday night, he's thinking, what else can I do? What else can I clean? How else can I pick up? That is how God is calling the people of God to be for the next level of Life Gate Church. Some of you like zone in totally out like, oh man, I've got to pick up my laundry. I got to go to High Boy to get ice cream before they get closed. Pastor really needs to hurry up. Like, you know, like there's this new Mexican restaurant on here. It's really good. That's where I'm going after church. But I ain't done. Right? And so nobody should have to tell you to straighten the rows after church. If you're a part of LifeGate Church, it just should be something you see and do. Right? If there's trash in the hallway and you're like, oh, that's, we'll let the leadership team do that. No, because you're a part of LifeGate and God is calling you to be a leader, God will lead you to pick it up. Right? If there's a gap, fill it. Number seven, and I'm concluding here. John, please play music because they're zoning out on me. Help me out, brother. Please help me out. Please, I'm throwing you a lifeline. Number seven. Now, listen, you better be here Sunday because I'm going to preach the paint off these walls. They might think we're a Pentecostal church on Sunday morning. I don't know. Number seven. Leaders are always learning and never arriving. If you're on my team right now and you have not learned anything about leadership this year, you are totally flatlined. Come on, somebody. Leaders never arrive. There's never a time you don't educate yourself. Well, I don't like to read. Well, you can listen to podcasts. They're free. They are free by all kinds of great leaders. John C. Maxwell has them for free. Greg Grishel has them for free. Help me out, honey. Who's it? Stephen Furtick has them for free. He's that struggling preacher out on the East Coast. Who? Bishop T.D. Jakes. I mean, come on. He gives us stuff for free on iPhones. If you don't have an iPhone, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't even know if you're saved. Just kidding. So that was a joke. I'm just kidding. It was a joke. But us as leaders, we don't ever, if you come to the place where you have arrived, arrogance is conceived, is in your heart. You're prideful, you're arrogant, and you're going to stay right where you're at until you repent and humble yourself. Because true leaders walk in humility, amen? And humility says, I'm teachable, right? It says, I'm teachable. And so I've learned as a leader, so like for me, I like to get around my leaders, and they watch our stream. Pastor Parsley watches it. Pastor Hart watches it, and I ask them flat out, what could I do to better myself? Is there something you see in me that's wrong, that I shouldn't do? I remember Bishop Pitts told me one time, he said, you always step to the left when you start preaching. Stop doing that. It's annoying. I was like, I do? He's like, yeah, go back and watch yourself. You always do that. It's your thing. Stop doing it. Okay, like some of you, if I said something that strong to you, you would be offended and never come back to the church. It's annoying when I see you and you don't smile. That's really annoying. I can't believe he talked to me that way. Well, people need to see your smile because they might be having a worse day than you. Right? Don't be an avoidable person. You know, some people that go to church are, people avoid you. Not you. I'll look at Brittany because she's not avoidable. And I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them when I probably might be. I don't know. You know, so if people are avoiding you, you should have somebody like Snapchat your face. Because maybe your face hasn't caught on to what your heart thinks. You might be happy on the inside, but your face is like, how are you today?
Fine.
I had this one guy come to our church one time. I'm really done. We're going to get ready to give here in just a moment. I hope this was something you guys learned today. I really worked hard on it. Oops. We had this guy that came to our church. What's your name, sis? Yeah. Oh, you're the girl that was here Sunday morning for the first time. I'm glad you're back again on a Wednesday night. Praise God. So we had this guy come to our church, and he said he wanted to be a youth pastor. He had the meanest looking face I've ever seen in my life. And young people didn't like him. So he came to our church. He said, I want to talk with you. I said, all right, let's talk, man. Sit down. I'm glad you're here today. And I'm sorry if you know who this is. If you're watching, I apologize. And he said, I want to be a youth pastor. Just like that. And I'm like, I don't think you're called to do that. He's like, well, how are you going to tell me when I'm not called? I said, how many young people have you brought to church? None. I said, well, if you're called to be a youth pastor, wouldn't you think young people would like you? I was like, he goes, they do like me. And I was like, our kids don't even talk to you because they're kind of afraid of you, man. Don't be an avoidable person. Be somebody people want to hang out with. Come on, nobody likes new and nobody likes me. That's because nobody likes you, because nobody likes you. Stop it. Put a smile on your face. Be likable. Change you. Social skills are not born within us. We learn them. Right? Well, I'm just not pretty. Being pretty ain't got nothing to do with it. Being handsome like me ain't got nothing to do with it. I used to have no friends. And then I made up my mind, that's going to end right now. I'm about to have, I got best friends coming out of my earlobes. I don't even know what that means. It just came out of my head. I don't even know what it means. I got friends everywhere, high places, low places. I got them everywhere, don't I? I got friends everywhere. I connected 4 people today that didn't even know each other. I was so thankful. I said, y'all, you need to meet so-and-so. Do you know him? Nope, hold up a minute. I put him in a group text and said, hey, here's this person, meet this person. God bless you, I'm out. I did that to 2 different couples, 2 different friends of mine. Like 4 people, but 2 different group texts. Be the person people want to be around. That's what leaders are. It has, listen, hold this. I got to fix you because I hear. It has nothing to do with what you drive. Has nothing to do with what you wear. Has nothing to do with your size, your height. If you don't have any hair, if you got hair like Jesse, it doesn't matter. I mean, I covet Jesse every time I see him. I'm like, all right. Hi, Jesse. Okay. Ain't got to do with none of that. Has to do with what are you giving off? Right? Do you give off? They must be having a bad day, right? Leaders are people want to be around, right? Okay, so I'm going to conclude with one quote by John C. Maxwell. If people aren't following you, you're not leading, you're out taking a walk. Amen. Stand to your feet real quick, guys.